Hello?
Okay.
Better, worse. What's the deal?
It sounds the same. It's not like constant. It's like every once in a while I'll hear that you just like go underwater.
Okay.
But I mean, you sound really clear. So I think this is probably the best it's been so far.
Okay. So we'll just do it this way then. Should I do the whole thing again?
Yeah, you're gonna have to do it again, and we'll just see how it goes. We're recording right now, so we can just start whenever.
Welcome to the first ever news or noise podcast.
Start again.
Welcome to the first ever news or noise podcast brought to you by the recently dormant but now wide awake Binge Watchers Brotherhood, Mafia. Which one is it? I don't really know. I'm here with Frank Malafronte, who reads the news every day. And this is Ankit Singh, who doesn't read the news any day. So Frank's just going to start rattling off headlines for the last week. We are recording on February 23rd at 9 p.m. So let's just dive right into it. Give me a headline of the last week, Frank.
All right, this is Frank Malafronte here. Let's go overseas first, something I thought was kind of interesting.
Okay.
This is out of Iraq. Most of Mosul Airport retaken by Iraqi forces. This is from the New York Times.
I don't even have any context to put that in. Give me some context.
Okay, so we know that ISIS has been in northern Iraq and parts of Syria for the last 3 years, I think, around that time. And we've been trying to push them out. And one of the biggest cities they hold is Mosul, M-O-S-U-L. It's the second largest city in Iraq. And we've been trying to push them out. And we've taken the entire eastern half of the city, and we've been pushing through the western cities, the western part of the city, starting last week. They took some time off after they took half of the city because they were taking like a lot of casualties. But they're still making progress. So this is just a headline. There have been a couple of these maybe every month just talking about progress that they've made in pushing ISIS out of the second largest city in Iraq. How do you feel about that?
Seems like news. I mean, just it seems like news, but I think that's what people want it to seem like. But I think it's just noise because you said these kind of headlines come out a lot. So anytime you see a headline a lot, right? It doesn't seem like something that each individual one of them matters until it's like two years later and you're like, oh, that's the thing that mattered. So I think it's too early to tell if it's just one of 10 headlines that are going to come out between now and the end of March or whatever. So it feels noisy.
Yeah, I think this is the sort of headline that as we define what we mean by these two very static and opposed terms, news and noise, what we're trying to say. I mean, I think by one definition, this is definitely news, and yet because something happened and it's an important story. But by another definition, the thing that happened hasn't really changed the overall complexion of the story. So I think, go ahead. Well, if they don't have this – for a while in Iraq, in cities, and Mosul especially, Mosul was kind of the big coup for ISIS. They were able to run over the forces, the Iraqi security forces that were in Mosul. It would be like Chicago. Like, it's like the Chicago of Iraq. You know, it's a really big city, and they've got all sorts of infrastructure, and there's armories – and there's banks, and there's a lot of people. So they were able to take over Mosul, and it gave them a lot more legitimacy. They got a lot of money, and they had a lot more weapons that they could use because they captured all these weapons that we had given to the Iraqis. So, and they started taxing the citizens, and they started imposing their own form of law. And it was sort of like they were governing as the Islamic Caliphate, which is what they're trying to do, is be the Islamic Caliphate. Which is that meaning that they're a sovereign state. So they were doing that at the time. So if we eventually push them all the way out of Mosul, then they've lost their biggest area of support and taxation, which is like over time they're fighting basically the entire world and trying to like stay afloat. And like they have all these, you know, guys that are their soldiers, but they have to like pay them and clothe them and arm them with bullets and things. And like the sort of nuts and bolts of fighting a war, which is what they're doing, requires them to have some sort of base of support. And also, like, it's a lot harder to fight insurgents inside of a city than when it's just in the country. Like, basically, whenever they have these meetings or they'll have training camps kind of, or places outside of major urban centers where it's, like, just ISIS, we just blow them up with drones. Right. So they have to stay inside of these cities and near a lot of civilians so that we won't just immediately destroy them. Because if they're just out and about, like on a road in Iraq and there's no one around them, like there's a Predator missile coming at them. So it's important that we take them out of the city. This sort of thing, I guess it depends on your definition. You know.
Okay, well, you've kind of talked me into it. Seems a little more newsy now.
It's definitely newsy.
I will say this. In my eyes, ISIS is fighting for one thing right now. That's called legitimacy, which is they want to be a legitimate whatever, sovereign state, whatever you want to call it, right? And in order to do that, they need money, they need resources. And if Mosul is their next big project, as, you know, Syria was their first, then any progress in there, any significant progress, is considered news. That's news.
Okay. We're going to stay overseas. Kim Jong-nam, who was the half-brother of Kim Jong-un, was killed by VX nerve agent, Malaysians say, which is like this incredibly deadly chemical agent that they killed his half-brother with. Okay. News or noise?
Noise, Vladimir Putin kills like 50 people who might be legitimate or whatever a fucking month. This doesn't matter. Who cares? It's North Korea.
I agree. It matters because the fact that this guy was overseas, like, kind of gave some sort of legitimacy that, you know, maybe like someone like China could set up a puppet government because it was China that was kind of protecting this guy. But I don't know. Basically, I'm not on board with North Korea, like, unless they're firing nuclear missiles at things.
Right.
And so this is outside of the last week, but when they made that nuclear missile test, that was probably the most newsy thing we're going to hear out of North Korea until the next nuclear missile test.
And anytime a country that shouldn't have nuclear weapons and hates America is testing nuclear weapons, that's news. That is something we should care about.
Oh, yeah. And like the fact that there was almost no response from our side about what they were doing. Yeah. You know, go ahead.
Has our CIA just stopped doing – have they just stopped working? Like, do we not have intelligence in any other part of the world anymore? Like, we know things that maybe we do know things that the public doesn't know, but I hope that's the case.
Oh, yeah. They haven't stopped working. This is sort of one of the big threads that I feel like is going to go through the next 6 months to a year, depending on how things go. But Trump has really, really angered the intelligence community, and they are leaking all over the place to the press about things. So, and also Trump doesn't really want to get briefings from the intelligence community.
He prefers Fox News.
Right. We know from, you know, lots of reporting from leaks from his staff who are like watching him all day saying, what the hell are you doing? That he does not read any news on the internet. He gets a print copy of the New York Times every day, which he reads. We know he used to get like the New York Post, and I'm not sure if he's still reading that. He might be reading the Washington Post instead now. And he watches a lot of cable news. That's how he gets his news. And there were reports that he, like when you send the president like briefing books, and there are all kinds of briefs that the president gets all the time. Stuff that is widely circulated that the president also sees. There's stuff that like maybe him and a couple close advisors, like maybe just him and his national security advisor or him and his chief of staff, Then there's other stuff that like only the president sees. This is like the stuff that J. Edgar Hoover used to send to presidents. Like it was literally for the president's eyes only. And all of these things have kind of been reduced because Trump is making directives that he wants more charts and graphs in his briefings. He wants more pictures, basically. He wants them to be of like, they have to be, you know, one page or two pages. I've heard as many as 3 pages. But when you're talking about president's briefings, it's probably like a binder that's probably like hundreds of pages of thick you know, single space writing that President Obama and probably President Bush would go home and read every night in the residence. Yeah. So
it's
long story short, the CIA is doing a lot. They're super pissed off at Trump, and what they will leak because they hate Trump is sort of an interesting thing that's going on. So
right, let's move on.
Let's move on. So most of these are going to be about Trump, even though the point of this podcast is that we don't want to get sucked into the daily grind of news. I think we've all kind of realized in the last year that I felt like I was super informed 12 months ago by like reading everything that happened. And now I just feel like I have to sort of pick and choose.
How much did you know, Frank?
Right. That's the point. I didn't know shit.
Right.
So I have one more overseas headline, but it's sort of a domestic headline too. This was at the Munich Security Conference. This was on the 19th. John McCain addressed the conference about the quote-unquote Flynn issue and cites the Trump administration as being in disarray.
How many Republicans have come out saying like backstabby things to Trump?
In public, not a lot. It's kind of like McCain and Lindsey Graham and like a couple other sort of your more mavericky senators.
Yeah.
All right. So you think it's news?
I think, is this the first time McCain has said something publicly against him? No, right?
No, it's not also the first time he said it about any president. This is sort of a thing that John McCain does.
Yeah. So you kind of hurt your own legitimacy if you don't really pick and choose your battles. You just go after everyone. Seems like noise. Doesn't really matter, but was there anyone important in the audience he was talking to, or was it just like another opportunity for a public shot?
This was an overseas security conference between NATO, our NATO allies, like different representatives from the countries of NATO. So this was a pretty important conference among the people who care about this kind of thing, which is everybody in a broad sense, but this is sort of the minutiae of you know, how many troops are we going to send to Belarus and things like that? You know what I mean? So it matters because one of the big themes of Trump is that he seems like he's not really super concerned about NATO, and he wants NATO to like spend more money on their own security. And so a lot of these countries that are on the border with Russia, because also it seems like Trump is really close to Russia, are really nervous and jumpy about this kind of thing. So, but my issue is that like, I think, you know, at this point, I don't really care what John McCain thinks about this. I only care what John McCain does about it. And so far, he's like voted for every Trump nominee and hasn't really done anything to actually prevent Trump from doing anything. He's just kind of talking and getting a lot of good press, which is something that John McCain's good at doing. So
He's also good at losing presidential elections by a lot.
Yeah, so you know.
I'm going to go hard noise.
I'm a big this is the kind of story that like it didn't get a front page thing in the Times, but there were magazines where, you know, people were that had McCain's picture on them saying, you know, is this the face of resistance to Trump, you know, from within his own party.
Is it like it's like page four below the fold kind of shit?
In the Times it was, but like in a magazine, like people were doing like full spreads and like big flashy pieces about McCain. And it's like kind of McCain just loves getting headlines about being especially if he feels like the on national security, which is his like really strongest issue, he'll always be independently minded. But, you know, he didn't stop the Iraq war. He's not going to do anything about Trump either. It's just about getting good press. So I'm going noise.
Yep. 1000%.
All right. U.S. to continue use of privately run prisons. Jeff Sessions has issued a new memo that replaces one from the Obama administration, directing that we use private prisons less often for federal prisoners.
Yeah, this is definitely news. So when Obama or whoever made the call to stop using private prisons, which is, I don't know what percentage of prisons are private, but it's not as large as people think it is. I think it's around 10 to 20%. Don't quote me on that, but, or maybe like, I don't know the exact figures, but I'm pretty sure it's not like really high, but it's definitely news for those companies that run those private prisons.
Was this the kind of thing that moved the market today?
Yeah, for those people who are interested, the two stocks that got hit the most when the headline came out of the Obama administration were CXW and GEO, and those stocks intraday went down 50%. So if you want to look at a chart, those stocks are now higher than when they were when that initial headline came out, because I think everyone was expecting this.
Elections matter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everyone was expecting it, but it's still news.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. New Trump deportation rules allow far more expulsions. This is part of a larger plan that they're going to put together. They're going to do things like publicize the crimes of undocumented immigrants. They're basically going to deport immigrants that commit undocumented immigrants that commit any sort of crimes at all. So this is like petty crime. Like if you shoplift and you're an undocumented immigrant, they're going to deport you. And they're going to their plan is they want to speed up the process of deportations. So they're not going to hold people in these detention centers that they have in like big cities, and they're going to have trials and then send people away. They just want to deport people immediately. The original plan was that they wanted to deport them to Mexico, regardless of where they were from. So like if you were like an illegal immigrant from whatever, Guatemala, wherever, Bangladesh, they were just going to send everyone to Mexico, which was pretty funny. Mexico obviously was like, absolutely not. So new Trump deportation rules, their plan for that.
It's definitely news, but it doesn't seem feasible. I think some judge somewhere is just going to be like, no, in this country, everyone has a right to a trial. Like, because then you could legitimately say, oh, he didn't even do anything, right? But somebody accused him of shoplifting. He didn't shoplift, but he didn't get a court case, but he was an illegal immigrant, and now he's getting kicked out of the country. Like, that shit will not fly.
Yeah, I think the part that really struck me was the publicizing of crimes by undocumented immigrants. This is just a really radical shift that we're going to – I don't know how it would be. There's going to be like a newsletter where it's talking about, you know, this undocumented immigrant like committed a murder. And it's sort of the problem that, you know, Tesla Motors had when they had like three car fires.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, like three cars caught on fire in like a couple months for Tesla. And it was like a big deal for a while. But like, you know, thousands of cars explode every year in the United States that are run by gasoline. Right. So it's like you're picking out a certain segment and you're looking for sensationalist news sort of things. And it seems like a big deal. But in truth, that would be like the ultimate kind of noise that really doesn't matter at all. Like one undocumented immigrant does something wrong. What are the broader numbers?
This is the beginning news that will create a lot of noise in the future, is what it sounds like. You know what I mean? Like when we get the first report out of like all these minor crimes by undocumented immigrants, it's just going to fucking cause a fucking media orgasm or whatever.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of headlines like this, but it's kind of – I just want to follow the thread. I don't want to get too bogged down in the specifics of the plan. We know that Trump's plan overall is he wants to come up with some way of making it harder to come into this country in like a flashy sort of way that fulfills his campaign promises. And so he was kind of shut down the first time. They want to modify the original executive order and come up with some new plan. They want to hire a lot more border control agents. Basically, this is all part of a larger theme that we're going to be looking at. going forward. All right. Jeez, a lot of Trump headlines. Sorry. Trump turns to manufacturing execs to help develop job plans.
Who cares? What?
I know.
Manufacturing executives?
That, yeah. So, like, the head of Lockheed, and they all sat down for a meeting with Trump.
Yeah, does not matter.
I know.
Never will matter.
Yeah, this is really dumb.
2 weeks ago, didn't he sit down with all, like, the tech icons or whatever, the CEO of tech?
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, it's the introductory carousel of meetings.
I'm talking a lot about Tesla today, but the only company it seems that has, like, specifically benefited in a big way from Trump. I mean, all companies have because of these tax policy questions that
right.
They're going to lower taxes. But it seems like Trump and Elon Musk are kind of getting to be buddy-buddy. Have you noticed that?
That's the biggest news you talk about. Elon Musk's rep is going to take a hit real soon if he gets too cozy, if he's going to cozy up with Trump like this. It's not a good look for Iron Man to be cozying up to, like, a fucking fascist dictator.
He made some weird tweets a while ago that kind of perked my ears on this. And it was kind of give Trump a chance or like it's not as bad as we think it is. And
I gave him a chance for 3 days and then he's started the Muslim ban. I was like, all right, you're done.
Yeah. I think it was about the Muslim ban. And, you know, he was kind of doing it in the Elon Musk way. Like, I know more than you about this. And, like, if you look at, you know, subheading 3 of the order, it's not actually as bad as you think. Yeah.
Elon Musk knows more than me, physics, math, and that's – politics is not probably one of those. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Even the most brilliant of minds are brilliant only in their fields, not everywhere.
Yeah. I'm definitely curious.
Unless your name is Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban is a man of the people. Cuban 2020.
I don't have a specific headline, but, like, that's obvious, right? Like, Mark Cuban is running for president, right?
Yeah. 2020. Did you see? Okay. Here's another news item.
Yep.
All-Star Game. Mark Cuban wore the number 46.
What okay.
do you think that 46 represents?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'll give you a clue. Donald Trump is the 45th president.
Yeah.
So.
It must be great to be Mark Cuban.
Oh, yeah. The best.
That's all he has to do, and he got so many headlines for that.
Yeah.
Definition of noise. See you in 3 years. I want to see what happens in Iowa. I mean, I guess I would have never thought Trump would have resonated with people in Iowa, but
yeah. Who knows? Okay, just another side question. How do Trump voters feel about Trump right now?
It seems like he has a base of support that's just going to be with him to the end. But we're seeing all these polls come out about, I guess, just people that are on the fence that, like, some of them might have voted for Trump. But it's kind of hard to say. There's a number out there, and it depends on whether you're talking about voters or you're talking about citizens or likely voters. Like, there's all these different categories, right, for what is the total population that we're looking at. But between 35 and 45% of people – in the country, again, whether it's one of those categories, are, like, hardcore, and it doesn't matter what Trump does, they're going to support him to the bitter end.
Okay.
So, but he does have the lowest polls of any, the lowest approval rating of any president at this point in his term. Now, this could be, like, the sort of thing that, like, every president just has low approval ratings forever now.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be, like, the pomp and circumstance of being elected and then having an inauguration. Everyone, there was sort of a hands-off and general, the president doing presidential things like signing things and, like, cutting ribbons and things like that, that led to high approval ratings for a while until we got, like, actual policy. And Trump just never got any of that. There was no bump at all. So. But it's a good example of the kind of thing that I don't care about. Like, I don't really care what Trump's approval ratings are right now. I care if we start hearing – if there's a headline that says Trump approval ratings are so low that members of Congress are starting to, you know, try to hedge against Trump in some way. That's not happening at all right now.
Yeah.
And
you know who cares a lot about Trump's approval rating?
Hillary
Trump.
Clinton. Yeah, Trump.
Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely has 1.5 eyes on his approval ratings at all times.
Which is pretty hilarious.
Kind of like we did on that 538 election forecast page.
All right, next headline. Let's switch it up. Boogie Cousins to the Pelicans.
Oh, hardcore noise. The big man is dead in the NBA. You know what I was thinking the other day?
What?
So, like, as a GM, you definitely want to zig when other people zag, right? So if everyone is going smaller, you would think going bigger is the way to, like, you know, is the way of the future, or like the way to gain an edge. But it doesn't seem like that's ever going to be a thing again. I don't think, like, is a center ever going to be the best player in the NBA ever again?
That's super interesting. I'm not surprised that you said this was noise, because I don't think it really changes anything.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Pelicans are, I mean, they're better, right? But does it matter that they're better?
Right. And Boogie Cousins, like, everything said about him as being like a locker room cancer is 100% true. I read an article that Isaiah Thomas literally told Isaiah Thomas of the Celtics, who are, like, you know, number two in the East, really good team, told their GM, do not get this guy, because he played with him in Sacramento. He was like, he is awful. And there's a reason why in his 5 or 6 seasons in the NBA, Boogie hasn't won more than 32 games, even though he averages like 28 points a game.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It amazes me for a lot of reasons. It shows like how important locker room chemistry is in the NBA.
Yeah.
It shows like that it just really sucks to be Boogie Cousins and have been born when he was born.
Right, because 20 years ago, he was like probably the second best player in the NBA.
Yeah, which is totally insane. And I also just feel even worse for Anthony Davis, who is just like a super nice guy. Probably didn't deserve this at all. I mean, definitely didn't deserve this at all.
But he wanted it. He wanted Boogie Cousins on his team.
Yeah. So. I don't know. You always hear, like, you hear those stories that people don't like him. But you also always hear that nobody has ever given – have you given up on Boogie Cousins? Is that what you're saying? There's no hope for him?
I just logged on to ESPN.com. The Rockets are playing the Pelicans right now.
Oh, God.
Houston, 98. New Orleans, 58.
Oh, my God.
They are losing by 32 points with 3 minutes left in the third. That's what Boogie Cousins get you.
Wow. I mean, yeah, it is their debut, right? But
yeah, but Dwayne and LeBron didn't lose by fucking 38.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Noise all the way.
Yeah.
All right. I don't have a headline about this. I'm just going to do another one. The Oscars is this Sunday. News or noise?
Okay. I'm trying to think in my mind who gives a shit about the Oscars anymore.
I used to. What happened to me?
You
Why don't
up,
I care?
More
this
TV
year.
Came out. TV shows became better than movies.
Oh,
a whole
God.
Lot of things happened.
I don't care about award shows, I guess. I don't care about awards.
Yeah. What was important about the Oscars? So in what I think is, like, before the internet, right, the Oscars were – not only were they the apex, they were the only way to get the word out on certain things, right?
Sure.
And now with the internet, like, all these award shows are just – you know, people care more about what people wear to the award shows than who actually wins the award. And I actually think, like, Leonardo DiCaprio winning the award was the worst thing to ever happen to the Oscars ever, because that's what kept people interested. Is Leo going to win? Is he going to win this year? Like, the will he, won't he was the entire reason I watched last year. And when he did, I was like, all right, whatever, fuck it. It's over.
I want there to, in theory, for there to be an award that we can all agree on, that we're like, this was the best movie,
mm-hmm.
or like, this was the best acting performance. But the problem is that, like, the Oscars have just become so skewed, I think. Like,
yeah.
Leo is a perfect example. He didn't win the Oscar for his best performance, or I don't even think it was like one of his top five best performances,
right.
but it was the one where he like pushed himself
tried
to the brink.
To
yeah. And like yeah. really went all in on Oscar bait, which is such a, I just hate the idea that there are movies that are made for the general population for to watch and that people try to make money on. And so a lot of them are like very, very yeah. cookie cutter. And then there are very, very, some of them are very interesting, but the problem is that they all have to go towards this specific audience. So there are some movies that I'm just going to hate overall. These are movies you don't even know about unless you've been to the theater because nobody cares about them. There is one with the guy who played Martin Luther King in Selma. And he's with and he's like the king of an African country. And he marries a British woman. And they go back to his small African country and nobody's happy with the marriage. David Oyelowo, I forgot how to pronounce that. It's been 2 years since I've heard that name.
Was it a great movie?
I didn't even see it, but I just know I'm going to hate it. Doesn't that just sound like a terrible movie?
Yeah.
I really, really just think that's a stupid idea for a movie. But
yeah.
I might be going too far, honestly.
I've always thought, like, if a movie doesn't, like, here's what I don't like, is, like, you have all these movie festivals, like, and a lot of those smaller indie films, they tend to win a lot of awards because they're very good. And in that way, it's good. But it's like, I don't really have a horse in the race. I like having a horse in the race. You know what I mean? That's what makes awards fun. You get to root for something. And if I don't know half the movies, and if I haven't seen half the movies that are being nominated, I don't have a horse in the race, which sucks.
So basically, they need to have Deadpool in the Best Picture nomination for Anchor.
I'm saying, if you are not in the top 50 grossing movies of that year, you should not be eligible for an award.
Interesting. It's also, it's work to go see these movies. They're good. A lot of times they're good. I mean, Moonlight, I thought was the best movie I saw. Manchester by the Sea, like basically was the closest I've come in like a really, really long time to crying in a movie. It was very, very sad and very good. And I haven't seen La La Land, but I don't know. Now everyone's so against it that I don't even want to see it. But you haven't seen any of them, which just proves that. And you represent to me like the average person in a lot of ways.
Thank you.
You didn't see them. I'm not saying I'm above average. I'm just saying most people didn't see any of these movies. So they don't matter to anyone.
Anyone who saw Manchester by the Sea really liked it. So, I don't know.
It was a really good movie. I wish more people saw it.
And Moonlight's about this gay black kid, I guess. Right?
I don't know. I mean, he definitely has like some like homosexual experiences. I'm not really sure if he's like totally gay, but it's like he doesn't even have like the vocabulary to even like talk about his sexual orientation, which is sort of the point of the movie. But he's also it's just like he's growing up and his mom's a crack addict and like all that kind of stuff. But it was really good because it was very like human and personal, and you like watch him grow up, which is really cool. It was good. All right, so those are my reviews for anyone that cares. My reviews are completely noise, just so everyone knows. So you got some noise on this podcast. All right, let's finish it up. This was today from CNN. The FBI refused a White House request to publicly, quote-unquote, knock down media reports about communications between Donald Trump associates and Russians.
Oh, boy. Yeah. This is, like, the big theme of his, like, the first month of his presidency.
Yeah.
Is there a cell phone that Trump pulls out of the Oval Office desk to call Vladimir Putin? Is that a thing?
No. I don't think Trump – I know Trump has a cell phone, even though he's lied to prosecutors before and said that he doesn't have one because we know he tweets.
Yeah.
But no, I hope he's not. I don't know. Now I don't know.
I'm thinking it's like a burner phone, you know, the kid even traced or whatever. It just got.
At this point, the White House is so leaky that if that was a thing, like, that would already be a story. We're getting, like, so many articles that are just like, look how weird Donald Trump is. People are just, like, watching him work in, as the president. You know, like, he's in a bathrobe watching CNN, and he's, like, spending all of his time focused on these not really important things. Yeah, but this is a story because it's right on the line of, I think, the number one political crime that politicians go down for is obstruction of justice. It's a very broad term, but you're not allowed to lie to the FBI. It's a felony. You're also not allowed to intimidate the FBI or other law enforcement officials to try to – you're not allowed to use your power to get them to not investigate something or to investigate something, but usually it's about trying to cover things up. So – for them to you're not even supposed to call the FBI and tell them to do anything if you're the White House. They're supposed to be totally independent. So they requested – this is what they actually did. They called someone in the FBI. Someone called someone and said, we want you to deny that you're investigating Flynn and that you – and that there are reports that, you know, Flynn talked with senior Russian people – or Russian intelligence officers during the campaign. And they said, no, we won't do that. It's just something that, like, no president has done ever. And if this was a the problem is that, you know, Jeff Sessions is not going to recuse himself as attorney general, right? Which is already crazy. Like, he's leading the investigations of ties with Russia to the Trump White House. He's the guy in charge of that. That's ridiculous. Like, people remember the 90s and I think before to the Nixon administration, because there were – during the Nixon administration, that he had a Democratic House and Senate, right? And during the Clinton years, there was an independent prosecutor, special prosecutor that was totally outside of the Justice Department who could do whatever he wanted. There's no mechanism like that that exists today, because he has the same party on in Congress, and they got rid of the special prosecutors during the early years of the Bush administration because they saw, like, how bad it was, and nobody really wanted to go through that again like they did with Clinton, because it was like a concern, like, oh, if they could come after me for – they could come after they could go after Clinton for a blowjob or whatever the hell he did, or for Whitewater – they could come after me for something. So everyone just decided to get rid of it. But this is a big story. It's just one more thing, right?
Yeah, I feel like Trump has managed to pull off one of the – it's almost like it's incredible, because I was talking to my dad the other day. I was like, we got into this philosophical debate because my dad cares a lot about optics, right? And I care only mostly about functionality, hence the 18,000 sweatpants that I own, right? So, and then we got into a debate about when is optics more important than functionality? And the number one field was politics, right? Because politics is all about perception. It's all about how things look, how things seem, not really about what things are. And Donald Trump has found a way to take the optics out of politics, or just have very bad optics and simultaneously not, you know, pay any price for it. It's incredible. It feels like I'm living in the Twilight Zone, but I've felt that way for almost 4 months now.
Yeah, I just think a lot of this has to do with it's early in his term. And the Republicans have two things that they really want to do. They want to repeal Obamacare, and they want to lower taxes on rich people. They don't want to replace. They want to repeal. They might have to replace, because otherwise it'll be a catastrophe. But they want – those are their dreams. Repeal Obamacare completely, go back to what it was before, and lower taxes on rich people, whether that's through corporations or lowering the income tax. That's what they want to do. So they want Donald Trump to sign his name to bills that have to do with that. And they're willing to accept basically whatever else he wants to do in order to get those things. Now, if they feel like he doesn't, that he's not capable of doing that because, or because because he says he doesn't want to, like he could just come out and say, like, I'm opposed to this. I'm Donald Trump and you're gonna do what I say. They would dump him over the cliff and get Mike Pence in the Oval Office as soon as possible. Or if like he becomes so politically toxic that they just cannot be associated with him anymore because it hurts their actual election chances, either or three, if it goes so long and then they end up losing the House in 2018, which is I think is like a really like long shot kind of thing. Those are
It's
the
the
only
same
reasons.
percentage chance that people gave Donald Trump winning the election.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's the thing is, all right, last question. Are we overestimating the probability of insanely low outcomes because of the president, because of who our president is and who won the Super Bowl? Are we now always going to be for like the next, like since the financial crisis, like everyone's been like super concerned about the things that caused the financial crisis. We haven't forgot about them yet. It's like changed our behavior in like a lot of ways. Are we now always going to assume that really, really low probability things are going to happen way more often than they actually do?
No, because that goes against the basic, human tendencies. But I think what it will do is it'll cause people to act early more. You know what I mean? I don't think it'll like drive up the chance of people buying lottery tickets, right? Because it's something that happens rarely, an individual winning the lottery. But yeah, maybe, But what it will do, I hope it will do, is like people realize now that just because something has a low probability of happening doesn't mean it can't happen, right? And so that you can take certain precautions to keep those things from happening, such as very simply standing in line to vote, which sucks, but you can do it.
I guess in a sense, like most people have gotten a sense of what risk is, which is, I guess that's kind of what we're talking about. Basically, risk exists. It's hard to quantify. It exists. You have to worry
Also,
about it. There are no certainties.
So when you first heard that there was some Russian interference in the election, what did you think? Like someone hacked the election.
I thought, I don't know, it's been so long. I can't even remember where I was or what was the first story that
The fir
tied. What was it? Was it? It was the DNC emails. That was the first thing.
Yeah.
And for a while we didn't know who did it, and then it came out that I guess I wasn't surprised. I think when it came out, I wasn't surprised because Trump had already been talking up how great Russia is and how great Putin is. And it made sense that because also Putin really, really hated Hillary Clinton because he thought that she tried to like incite revolts against him. So it made a lot of sense to me, I guess.
Yeah, it scared the crap out of me. It was a headline that I prayed was noise, because if it was real, that's terrifying.
Sure.
That is absolutely, that's beyond terrifying. That basically, the basis of the republic has been breached. The essential thing that makes us a republic is now no longer in place. That's scary. That
Because
means
just elections are easier to manipulate now than they've ever been. Yeah.
elections is the one thing America does right. Not completely, but still, for the most part, do it okay, right? And ever
Yeah.
since red mapping in 2010, we've just nosedived.
It's
Never.
an interesting era. I think I assumed that this sort of thing was possible because it's just really, really easy to hack things these days. And I don't know, I guess I thought the DNC had better security. And but then when we found out that, Podesta basically clicked a phishing link, that's when I just threw up my hands. But I also thought that the response was worse because we didn't really do much and there was nothing much we could do about it. And nobody seemed to like take it as seriously as it was in government. It still wasn't as important as Hillary's emails. Like still, you know what I'm saying? I guess that was more concerning to me than the fact that it happened. It wasn't something I thought could happen, but once it happened, I just kind of assumed that I just kind of thought it made sense that it was sort of thing that they would try to do.
Yeah.
Long story short.
Kind of, you know, the media has it's given like this great voice, right? And it's interesting to me what the media chooses to focus on and why it chooses to focus on certain things, right? And I'll give you an example, and it's pretty much the basis for this podcast. It's like 80% of the headlines I see on CNN or Fox News or MSNBC are regards to terrorism, right? Terrorism is on the news every day pretty much since 9/11, right? And
sure.
If I asked you since that time how many people have died in terrorist attacks, Americans have died in terrorist attacks since 9/11, including 9/11, the number is maybe 15,000. I don't even think it's that high. That is the max that number is, right? More, maybe a maximum like 800 people a year die of terrorist attacks, right? But if our goal as a republic is to save as many lives as possible, right, 300,000 people die of heart disease.
Right. Right.
270,000 people die of, like, I don't know, something it's like several forms of cancer, right? It's heart disease, cancer. Then it's like physicians malpractice is number three. Physicians malpractice is the third biggest killer in America.
It's amazing.
Right? People,
yeah.
And the media chooses to focus on something that has killed 15,000 people in the last decade and a half, when 300,000 people died just from basic lack of dietary information and lack of, you know, exercise information. Just things that they can easily control and save, you know, a 0.01% change in the heart disease rate in America would save the number of people who died of terrorist attack in the last decade and a half times five. So it's incredible. It just boggles the mind that the media chooses to focus on things that have, you know, that are sexy and create a lot of fear, but don't actually have a lot of results, achieve the results that they want to achieve.
Right. That would be a good example. I don't watch a lot of cable news, so I'm probably going to miss, or I'll try to find some more headlines that are truly sensational for future episodes that are really, really silly. I'll probably keep it on. I work at a bar, in case our listeners don't know this. I'll have it on at the bar sometimes and just see what the CNN chyrons are, how bad they are. And that I'll write them down.
Yeah, they're because terrible. You're
right. But cable news is the worst. We know that. The only thing worse than cable news is talk radio.
Yeah. Another headline I saw today or yesterday. They discovered planets, like eight of them, in a star or a galaxy a few light years away, a million, I don't know, something like that.
Right.
News or noise? I don't actually know. I thought it was news because I was like, holy fucking shit.
I saw this as well. I did not include it in my rundown. And the reason, I guess I should have included it, but I think this is noise. So if you think it's news, that's interesting. This is the sort of thing that I don't care about because they're 40 light years away. Like, this is the sort of thing that's not going to affect humans for like 3,000 years minimum. You know what I'm saying? It's not important to me in my day-to-day life and in like the life of my entire lifetime. This is not going to matter. So So it was the number two story, you know, on the New York Times app in terms of views, and it's not important to me. And these kind of headlines happen all the time. We find new planets that might have life. We don't even know if they do or not. We just find a star that has some planets around it, and they might be in this habitable zone, which we haven't really figured out yet. We used to think that all planets that are tidally locked, which means they only rotate on their axis once for every time they go around the sun, so one side is always facing the sun. We thought that any planet like that could never support life. And now they think maybe they could support life if they meet other conditions. So basically, if we still believed that tidally locked planets cannot support life, this headline wouldn't have happened because all seven are tidally locked. So I don't care. It just doesn't matter. Like the scientists can't even decide this because we don't have enough information. But why do you think it is news?
I just never thought. So I thought it was news because I'd never seen a headline like this. And then I talked to the trader next to me who's like a new trader. He's like, dude, these headlines come out all the time. And I was like, oh, well, okay. But another, it's really interesting because what every time we find, like, I'm always looking for escape off this planet because of global warming, and at some point it's going to accelerate and kill a whole bunch of people.
Sure.
And we're going to need to find a new planet. So I thought it was like, you know, if SpaceX was a stock, I would have bought it. You know what I mean? Because we need a backup option because we're kind of destroying this one.
All right. I think that's honestly like something we could have a whole podcast about. My general thinking is it's way, way, way too expensive to get 99% of the get even like 1% of the population off of Earth is like would cost more money than like exists in money. Like it's impossible. Like there's not even enough like fuel to do it. It's the kind of thing that's the problem. Have you seen the movie Interstellar?
I have not.
Well, yeah. So they like they're trying to there like is a global warming crisis of some kind. It's more about like crop failures, but it's sort of like it's a stand-in for global warming. And
okay.
In order to like save humanity, she has to solve this equation that like lets them manipulate gravity because otherwise like they just can't you can't launch enough rockets to get people off the planet. Like if anything, it's more about like humanity surviving as a species than about like you as a person surviving because like plan B, if they didn't solve this gravity thing, was they were going to have like they had all these fertilized eggs inside these containers, and like the astronauts were going to like raise the first generation of humans on these like potentially habitable worlds, but nobody on Earth was ever getting off the Earth and everyone was going to die because in that scenario like eventually there was not going to be any more food, like you weren't going to be able to grow crops, there'd be zero people left.
Yeah.
So it was like more it was also more like urgent to get off Earth because Earth was like not habitable anymore. But basically for me, I'm never going to Mars. Never. Never going to happen.
Why?
Because only rich people are going to get to go to Mars.
Yeah. You know, maybe you know how with Tesla, poor people can afford it the third time around when the model, whatever, the third model comes around.
Yeah.
I think Elon's working hard so that you go to Mars.
I'm very interested in that. I don't – there's no science that exists today that would enable a massive – would enable a million people to leave Earth.
That's for sure true.
So, you know, they have to build something like a space elevator, which is like nobody knows how to do it, to be like a cable that goes all the way up into outer space.
They have to build a ship that can sustain life in space like they did in that season of Power Rangers. I don't know if you watch, but that's what we need, like a part of the Earth that's a spaceship that gets to float around for, you know, years out there, and it can also travel with the speed of light, so we can get to a lot of planet.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be a spaceship like that Matt Damon movie. It's a space station where all the rich people live. Basically, space travel is a class issue, Ankit.
Yes, as is everything else.
To me, at least. So. On that note, this has been the first episode of News Versus Noise. We're hoping to get some feedback. Hopefully you like the episode. Definitely feel free to send us headlines. For this first episode, I'm just going to give out my normal email address, which is frankamalafranti@gmail.com. If you have headline requests, things that you want us to talk about, or things that you want to flag. Otherwise, we'll have another episode next week. Thanks very much.